All right, this is the next, this is the part two that you didn't know was a two-parter. We didn't know it was a two-parter.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
It's a two-parter of the spoilers in the stream of conscious spoiler.
Super spoiler.
Super spoiler. This is Kendrick.
Kyle.
And Joe.
Carefully backing out of a, oh God, we're all going to, never mind.
No, everything's on fire.
So we recorded the first part of our Star Wars shenanigan extravaganza. Shenaniganza, if you will.
Basically.
And I insist that you do.
We're all doing a, we're doing a sit sock bang bang.
Yeah, sit sock bang bang, because we couldn't shut up about Star Wars.
Yeah.
For the entire workday. So we're gonna do our second one on the way home. Which we don't normally do. We don't normally do this.
What is that sound?
Oh.
Incoming call?
Oh, yeah. I have a someone calling my phone. That's gonna fuck up everything. Nope. Let's see. Where are we at?
Call terminated.
Can you edit it out?
I don't know. Can we edit? Can we edit? No? Well, we'll find out. We're still recording.
We're still going. Okay, everybody.
And it's gone.
And the lady, we want to start over?
No.
No.
No, fuck it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
This is editing in the stream of consciousness.
I was very confused because I forgot that the car's hooked up to my phone, Bluetooth. And so I was like, the beeping I thought was my car about to explode.
Ah.
Fortunately, my car is not about to explode anywhere outside the normal acceptable parameters of car explosion.
What are we going to talk about in the second half of Star Wars spoiler bang?
What is it that we got caught up on? We didn't do any prep work.
Caught up on where?
Okay. Like, okay, so last thing was
in the elevator, we talked about what we didn't like. So yeah. In the elevator, we were like, okay, these are some things that I thought were a little silly.
So who wants to go? You
can't remember them.
I'll start.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So one thing, and it was like the first thing I think I said when we got in the elevator, was the one thing I was kind of disappointed about was that I thought Captain Phasma was actually going to be like a much bigger deal. And I was really excited for what they were going to do with her character. And it turned out to be absolutely nothing.
She was in exactly three scenes.
Yep. One of them where it's basically like a comedy sketch.
Yeah.
Like, they make an absolute fool out of her and then jam her down a garbage chute. And like, and which they don't even show. So there's no physical comedy to it.
Yeah. What the hell was that? That was a waste of energy. Again, waste of potential.
Yeah.
I feel like there must have been more scenes that they cut.
Yeah, I guess it kind of came off like they meant to do things and then didn't. And so you're supposed... Like, I don't know. I guess from the standpoint we're talking about, we know her from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
As Brienne of Tarth. Yeah. Or some of us do. I don't know if Joe's seen that
before.
And so we were expected her to be more of a character.
I'll tell you this much. I forgot she was in it, if I ever knew.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that I actually ever heard that. Like, I realized I heard it, but I never... Going into the movie, I completely forgot that that was the case. And I summarily was surprised mostly that there was a named character who they made such a big deal out of and then did nothing with. They built so much up.
Yeah.
Made her so scary and like, oh, she's... Blah, 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 and then all of a sudden, it was like... and then she's done. Thwarted easily. That is not a lane.
People are just going to...
That, no, over... That's...
It is now.
Well, that's funny. Well,
Phasma's lack of development was kind of disappointing.
Well, it was disappointing, but it was also a bit of a frustration. Just because it was like, what was the point of that? It felt weird and kind of jarring because it was like, what?
Who was it? You mentioned that the Knights of Ren was something you...
Knights of Ren was the other thing, because it was like, they talked about the Knights of Ren and they showed them very briefly in the flashback scene, and then that was it. No explanation. And I'm not gonna be enough of a dick and be like, that was a gaping plot hole, big floppy shitbag of fucking stuff, because that's bad and the movie's bad and everyone who watches it's dumb. But it felt like, what happened to them?
There's a lot of story to be delved into with who they are, what they meant.
It's not that I'm saying there needed to be a huge long exposition of things. So when you say there's a lot of story, I feel dumb for even saying anything. But what I really mean is, they were like, so I got these bad ragtag band of rebels and we're going to rebel against Luke. Okay, next scene, there's just one guy. And it's like, but could you just give me a transition sentence?
Yeah, like the best
he betrayed
that,
them
that scene,
or something.
Where he's like touching R2 and then like...
The Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
It's something. And I felt like I was a little jarred because I was like, okay, so that's, they're pocketing that. And I felt like they never got anywhere with it. So I feel like...
It's another one of those leading...
It's
like,
leading for the next movie, and that's fine, but it felt weird.
Snoke. Whatever the guy. Supreme Leader Snoke.
Giant Man.
Yeah.
Is, like, this character, and I don't know why they chose to do him the way they did him yet. And it's another thing. I really want to know why he's 25 feet tall.
Yeah.
Why... Why is he a character I don't know anything about him.
No, yeah, see,
nobody does.
The,
I looked at the wiki, there's nothing about him.
Yeah, he's actually a totally new character.
With that, he is a completely new character, no information about him, but it was really kind of weird to see him being all giant. And at first I was like, wait, are they just like bringing giants into this now? And then I remember that in the original trilogy, when Vader's talking to the Emperor, he's on like this huge hologram projector.
Yep.
And his head's just like
The one thing that made me be like, okay, I can understand.
When it became a hologram thing, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
so he just has a tiny penis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that.
Because he's so big. For everyone that didn't get that joke, who doesn't have a penis? Yeah.
Well, I think most people.
Yeah, the only people that listen to this, so me, you, and Joe are going to have a penis. So.
But I mean, in all honesty,
100% of our viewers.
Wait. That is 100% of our viewers, you, me, and Joe.
Yeah.
Hi, future Kendrick, future Kyle. And future Joe didn't even do it, so I'm not going to greet him. Sorry. Fuck you, future Joe. No. So all I'm saying with that is, that felt weird in the movie, but then by the end was resolved, so I felt okay about that. It was like, and I don't mind him being mysterious, frankly. Like, that made sense, because it was like, who the fuck is that guy? Where the hell was he hiding? But that feels like, okay, well, they're going to explore that later. You know, that, like, that... Or I don't know, that didn't feel as weird as the Knights of Ren thing and the what's her name just being completely not there. Like, at no point did she need to be a named character, is what I'm saying. From a story writing standpoint, there's no reason for her to be a named character in that. She could have just been miscellaneous
Commander
4 with unnecessarily shiny armor.
Well,
for no apparent reason.
Do you remember the general's name?
I am really bad with names.
General Hux.
Hux.
And I'm saying, what I was going to say is, they tend to put names on characters regardless.
Yeah.
So, do you remember the guy?
Not
remember the name of the. Okay, but anyway, like small characters. Do you remember?
Sure.
Captain Phasma's not a small character.
I guess the part that got me was, it felt like people were talking that character up a lot.
Oh, really?
And it was like, it's going to be so great. And it's like, she has three lines.
Three lines.
And is in a grand total of 8 minutes on.
She's going to be bigger than the next ones.
You know? I would hope so. And
it's
expect
one of those things. It's everything that we're pointing out now is a thing that could be built on in next movies.
Yeah.
That will make the original movie okay.
But even still, I feel to me like it was a bit of a jarring moment where it was just kind of like, what the hell was that? And then it never got resolved to my satisfaction. But again, these are all like, I don't like the color of the roof tiles on the huge mansion I just got. Like, suck it up. It's great still, right? Like, I still loved the movie.
One thing I would like to address, and to quote Whitest Kids You Know, they had another Death Star. There's a great Whitest Kids sketch where they make a big joke about Star Wars 7. It's like, oh, they had another Death Star?
Yeah.
And... Well, and that totally happens, but on like a grander scale, and which, that's actually been kind of a trope in even the canon, like the expunged canon itself, of that, like, there was always like a bigger super weapon that destroyed huge like solar systems and then stars and then galaxies and then.
And again, I think that is more an effect of them doing the Jurassic World thing, where they. Redoing A New Hope for a new generation while establishing a new story. Like, they're like, this was the stuff that was cool about A New Hope, so let's make it better and then like kind of break up.
I see what you're saying. So a spiritual successor
a
spiritual remake.
It's
not a remake. It's going back to their roots.
Yeah, and that's what I was like. So Jurassic World did the same thing where it was like, here's a dinosaur. The dinosaur's smarter
the
than everyone else. They're
seen.
Like the Velociraptors and. And you're like, okay, so that's obviously the antagonist dinosaur from the movie.
Like, right, yeah. You're like, well, that's going to be that. And then it happened, and you're like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I think with the Star Wars, the trope of they had a bigger Death Star, or they've got another Death Star, is not really... It happens. That happens in that world.
Yeah.
And the other part is, this is something about the Empire that probably is worth noticing, is they have a surprisingly efficient military-industrial complex because they can crank out an astonishing amount of shit. If you look at places like, Bespin or fucking anywhere, actually, they've got... I think this is one of the things that maybe it's difficult in a movie to convey the scale of the Empire. Like, we were talking before about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are billions of stormtroopers... In the first movies?
Well, 1 through 3, they said they had, like, upward of, like, it's in the tens of thousands that they had ready, and then there was, like, a million on the way.
Yeah.
In the
and those are the clones,
On what was that place that we figured out what it was called?
the clone place.
Calypso.
Yeah, like the, like the clone. The
yeah.
clone.
Yeah, yeah.
Planet. Right.
God damn it. I can't remember.
But what I'm saying is they've been ramping up because that's when they had a surreptitious military. When they became an overt military and yeah. they were doing everything, there's a shitload of people. I mean, you're talking about a massive, massive number of soldiers alone, not to mention all of the... You know, the engineers, the, you know, the basically the Space Army Corps of Engineers, all these people, not to mention the fact that the Empire clearly has a sort of a fascist totalitarian regime where they can basically dominate an entire planet, and they've shown they'll do this, exclusively to manufacture a single widget, right? Like,
yeah.
there's a planet somewhere that they took over because it's got enough metal on it, and they just build probably the wing, the left wing for fucking, for one model of TIE Fighter, right? Like, they can dominate so much of the galactic economies here that it's a scale that's hard to fathom for us living yeah, on a small planet. Like, yeah, like very Warhammer 40K.
There's a lot of parallels for the Empire.
Absolutely.
40K.
So what I'm saying is that the scale is unimaginable for us, for them to be able to take out, they didn't gut the planet, they just modified a planet. And frankly, that's even less impressive than building a freaking Death Star, because those Death Stars are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they cut a huge chunk out of the middle of the planet. That's impressive. It's very impressive. But over the course of 30 years, I believe that a group as powerful as the Empire, or the First Order, which
years?
Is now the Empire,
with their
I'm grabbing it as a low.
You're saying First Order. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
To do that, because what's the first thing you're going to do when you're in charge of this is like, well, we probably should build a super weapon. That seems to be what everybody wants to do when they're in charge of the Empire out here.
Yeah.
And considering how quickly they built the second Death Star, which was 10 times bigger than the first Death Star,
yep.
I feel like they must have gotten some solid architects who knew how to crank out some standard prefab metal struts or something really quick.
Yeah, anything's possible when you have an unlimited supply of human
bodies. Would you say that they have unlimited power?
No.
Guys, I did it.
You did do it.
Alright, so what the fuck was that tangent?
That was people talking about how
there's a bigger Death Star.
Okay. And I still feel like that's in canon.
Yeah.
But it does speak to what you're saying where it felt like a new hope in a sort of symbolic sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still say, like someone else brought it up, is you can also point out where it's wildly different than A New Hope in many ways.
I'm not trying to... just like Jurassic World is wildly different than Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're the same. I'm saying exactly what you said. They took the good things,
and they
got the generation now onto those things
that
were good.
They made Star Wars accessible to new viewers.
Yeah.
Which is,
and
I think, a powerful thing.
And now people that are
going
to go back and watch A New Hope are like, oh, cool, that's like...
That's like, when this happened.
What they did.
That's
yeah.
what they did there.
It's
oh, my
familiar.
God, it's Luke.
And it
He's
also
so
helps people who have seen it before... If you're seeing familiar things, it makes it easier to like.
Oh yeah, no,
and
I liked every little nod. I didn't even like they had the Starkiller. I wasn't like, oh, really? I was like, oh
yeah.
Fuck, they've got an even bigger one now.
Yeah, yeah.
So coming in as a fan, as an actual fan, not like a I'm better than you fan, but that's where I don't.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah,
the ones that are like, oh, this is just a copy of Star Wars 1. You're like,
or the people who are like, oh, that's just a ripoff of what they did in this one book by this guy from 1994. And you're like, no, it's shut up. It's a movie, and it was an awesome movie, and I giggled like a small child. Kyle can confirm this. I clapped and giggled at moments. And you did, too.
Confirm.
Something to that effect, similar. I don't think you did quite what I was
got,
doing.
I get excited differently than
yeah.
Kendrick.
Well, what I noticed was...
Erections.
Well, I can tell you... No, I saw that. You poked me with it a couple times. Kind of weird. Really weird, because you didn't
I wanted
move.
You to know I was excited.
You didn't move. It just found me, and that was weird. But the part... That got me was during the third act. Pretty much not, and I kept checking my watch. This is where I think, not that I get bored, I just try to think in categorizing times and then I still fuck it up. But the first 20 minutes were good. Good hook, good start. The next 20 minutes were pretty good. They were solid. We were into that. But I have a bad habit of jibber jabbering during movies. And I usually try to sit next to someone who tolerates that or will join me and we'll just have our little sides. Not too much, but enough to annoy some people. I know some patrons
yeah.
I go with are like, "Shut up, leave me alone." So,
I did that to you at one point because I was.
You did
there.
Say no, that's what I mean. Normally, when we go to movies, Kyle and I can go back and forth throughout. But there was a couple spots where Kyle was brushing me off, and shortly after, I was like, "Okay, fine. He must be zoned in." Shortly after, I was in the same spot where I just was zoned in, and I don't remember the last time I was that enraptured by a movie.
Right, when I sit up and I'm like watching a movie like this,
yeah.
I'm like
to say here, Kyle is leaning forward with his hands steepled in front of his nose, and he's covering his mouth. with them and doing gestures as he goes.
That was on Starkiller. That was right before Han Solo bit it. And yeah. I was like,
it was that whole scene when they're on there and they're doing stuff and you know they're running out of time and X-Wings are dropping like flies and it's so tense. You're not even sitting on the seat. You lifted yourself up a little and you're just crouching and you're just...
I don't know why. I know why I was like that. But if as someone watching a Star Wars movie, it's not like Game of Thrones. You know they're going to succeed, but for some reason, you're just still on the edge of your seat.
Well done. Like, and we were that excited, which is the key thing, is we were, and if I say key thing again, someone smack me, because I say that 19 times every podcast.
I say like about a million times. So
like is a little more acceptable. If I hear me say that phrase again on here, I'm punching myself in the nards.
You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here on spoilering.
The key thing is that Kendrick's going to punch himself.
Spoiler
in the
thing. I need to have a little noisemaker so when I do it, I can go and just shock myself. Maybe not while I'm driving.
I prefer. We'll see what happens.
So, what that indicates to me is that I was so engaged as a movie viewer that I was completely taken out of myself. And my immersion was complete, which is extremely uncommon for me. I have really hard time getting that immersed in a movie. Now, I love movies. I love going to movies. I love watching movies on TV. I like it watching at home because you can pause it and go take a dump in the middle of the movie, which is just a great feature.
Oh, yeah.
But I adore cinema. I like watching movies. I like watching awful movies. I love watching movies. But I'm never that engaged. Because I'm always analyzing or whatever. And in that, I was so in the moment. I wasn't even analyzing. I lost track. Like, I'm looking back on those parts of the movies, and I couldn't tell you my normal thing where I was thinking about the lighting or thinking about that. I started to notice the lighting in that scene because he was in red and Han was in blue as the sun was getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And then it gradually became more red. And the only reason I noticed that is because it was a little bit heavy-handed. It was very obviously done.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate because they beat you over the head with it, not too badly, but it was like very obvious. You're
it's
like,
less of a beating over the head and more of kind of a gentle tap, repeated tap.
As opposed to a hey over there, it's more of a hey. Check. Hey. You should be what? That's important.
Look at this.
Is important. The color on his face is bad.
So, these are things. Yes, that was in a sentence. That was just me confirming all the things that we had just said. What? Where do we move now? Do we have any more complaints about the movie that we didn't
enjoy? Joe, what other complaints did you have? Like what fell flat? What did you wish was better?
I'll be honest, not a lot. And even trying to be like more analytical and be less biased. There's a lot in it. Kyle and I were talking earlier about the cheese factor. To once again bring cheese into sense.
Hey,
it's kind of
back.
It is a kind of.
But, sexy kind of neat.
Yeah. So, this was something Kyle actually brought up, was that in the original trilogy, there's not a lot of cheesy one-liners and a bunch of stuff. Really, there's a lot of snark from Solo and kind of the comedy relief of C-3PO and R2-D2. But there's not a lot of cheese going on.
We're talking
on.
Like...
I'm not sure that I agree with that.
Well, really? I think it's a different generation of cheese. Because you're right, Joe. I think C-3PO and Han Solo, there's some little cheeky stuff that Ben and Luke do. And, like, it's just kind of there. But in the prequels and this new movie, it's a little bit more.
It's,
like,
yeah.
You can
in,
tell.
In the prequels, it's very prevalent, actually. One of the things... And, again, maybe we can get into talking... A little bit about the prequel, the undeserved prequel.
I figure
prequel
when we hit traffic, we have extra time.
We'll see.
But the, like,
may or may not.
One of my, one of the things that I really disliked about, like, episode one was specifically the commentator for the pod racing. That dude annoyed the shit out of me. And
he's almost like a Phasma character, now that we've talked about it. Like, unfortunately, it's a character that's, like, there. And funny things happen to around or with.
And it's just as forced, but in an even more painful way, because you don't really have a name, and you don't really give a shit. You weren't told to give a shit about this guy. It's just that he's there, and now he's saying shit, and he won't shut up.
I totally forgot about that guy. I have his name movie forever. I need to go back and watch those.
I kind of want to talk about that, but that might be a different conversation. But
so,
yeah.
With that being said, there's a little bit of that, like, those kind of that cheesy action in Force Awakens, but in the first example of it comes from Poe when he's being, like, he's having this little face-off with Kylo, and like Kylo Ren's trying to pull off this great Darth Vader thing of being super intimidating and talking with the moderated voice, and Poe's just like, Dano, I can't, could you speak up a little bit? Like, I can't, just completely unintimidating.
Right, just and that's sardonic.
It's very cheesy, it's very kind of, like, a little bit of comedy spiced into this very serious scene, but it's also character-defining for both of them.
Yeah.
Poe's not only being labeled in the scrolling credits of being the best pilot of the Resistance, but also he's not intimidated easily. He's not one to cave under pressure. He's not scared of this guy.
They do the same thing with BB and Flynn.
But hold on, though. Finn, sorry. How is that? I see what you're saying. But I agree that happened. I liked it myself. But how is that different from Han Solo's interactions in A New Hope?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
That's what I mean. Is I don't see that. I think that cheese factor is actually integral to
nobody was saying it wasn't. We're saying that
you said that there was more cheese, that there wasn't cheese.
I think that there's more of that type of cheesy character development stuff in the prequels and in the new movie than there was in the classic movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm still thinking of things like Lousy Conversation Anyway, where he shoots the thing. Or,
oh, you're right. You know, maybe
or like
about
when
that.
They're in the garbage pit, they there's all kinds of shit in there.
And the garbage.
And how many quotable lines we do from the original Star Wars.
Well, and
fine,
things like
everything's fine.
Yeah. The other one was I love you. I know. Like that. Kind of, there's so many of those things. It is mostly Han Solo.
And I feel like that might be kind of the main difference, is that a lot of that comes from three characters in Star Wars in the original three. So we've got the cocky pilot and then the comedy relief of the two droids, and then everybody else is straight faced.
That's not true, though, because aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Comes from Leia. Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And she what was it? Did this bucket of bolts even fly? Like, she's got plenty of comedic things.
I think that
might be.
And then Luke's too like emo to actually.
And
do
he still has a couple of sarcastic comments. I was like, well, even I don't know. He's got a couple of things. I'm trying to think of them. I remember he had sardonic, but it was mostly like you said, emo. But it was like sarcastic teenager, which he was.
Yeah. Used to bullseye womp rats in my T6.
That's not like snarky.
I was thinking of three
or four characters that are like using comedy to define cheesy things that they say to define their.
I think that it's really about the same.
No, it is. Yeah, I'm agreeing now, because look at the prequels. You have Jar Jar
isn't snarky so much as he's just blithe.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's people's interactions with Jar Jar that kind of define the character. Qui-Gon
has a lot of sarcastic
and then
things.
Like Obi-Wan in the first movie interacting with Jar Jar. Like,
and then Anakin. And then two-headed commentator guy.
No, I think we're focusing. Chubb. That guy's the only...
Okay. He's in one scene, though.
Yeah, but I feel like this is kind of the point I'm getting to, is like it's more painfully obvious in almost every part of the prequels, as opposed to
I don't know. If you're gonna get into it about two-headed commentator guy, then you got to talk about
I think you're thinking of the guy I was trying to think of earlier in this conversation.
Bespin.
Lodo, the droid.
No. What I'm drawing a blank.
The Ugnaughts.
No. Turns Han Solo in.
Yeah, Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian. Yeah. What did you say?
Oh, Lodo is the robot.
Yeah. No,
robot.
Lando.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say Lando before?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said.
I didn't hear anyone say Lando.
Lobot,
Lando Calrissian, who is nothing but snark.
Yeah.
True.
And he's in way more scenes than the two-headed guy.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there fucking bitching out Vader. Like he's not even like he's intimidated, but not even in the same way. He's like, we had a deal, and then he's like,
The thing surrounding the two-headed guy was that they were trying to make it. They were trying to nuance pod racing as this like kind of sport where like there's a crazy commentator like Blood Bowl has the two guys that talk the ogre and the goblin that talk in Blood Bowl. They say shit like that all the time.
Sure.
So it's like I think they were going for that type of thing, and the two-headed commentator gets this like gets a bad rap.
I get
that,
but in all honesty, I forgot about him, so obviously he didn't aim that much.
Hey, when you watch, if you ever watch,
well, you know what it was. Greg Proops is his voice, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
So
yeah.
I like Greg Proop, so I probably wasn't that bothered by it because I think he's funny. Okay, you're going to have to do not that thing.
Speed up.
Pick one.
That hand motion I did was not appropriate
not
for speeding
up. Not even for radio.
So I think that I'm solidifying more on the idea now that I think that's a cool integral part of Star Wars.
I think it is.
All of them are pretty fucking cheesy. Like,
there's a lot of cheese in it.
There's a lot
of physical comedy, which is something that's in there. Like, there's the scenes where where Han Solo runs down the hallway and then turns around, and runs the other way, mm-hmm. shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he's being chased by stormtroopers.
Yeah,
and then they CG'd it up and put way too many stormtroopers. And you're like, that's stupid, but it was whatever. Or you know, any of the. A lot of Chewbacca stuff. I think that's the kind of shit that they included and did a really good job of keeping faithful.
Yeah,
but I think the cheese factor in the some of the lines is absolutely important.
Yeah, I think that brings in that because it's almost like the family aspect of the movies is what people hate sometimes.
Yeah,
and it's like that's part of like it being a movie that everyone can watch. You know, to bring everybody into the Star Wars community as opposed to like the hardcore people. And
I
don't want to get into this, sorry. I was going to say, no, maybe. Okay, I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to talk about the prequel hate. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. We'll do another one on prequel hate.
We'll talk about that later.
I think there's plenty of podcasts of prequel hate.
Yeah.
I think we can elaborate on that because there's a lot to be said about that. And it's nice to have someone who's willing to defend the prequels.
Yeah.
And then I'm not really interested in attacking the prequels, so it might actually be a fun conversation because we can explore the prequel hate from a neutral and a loving prequel perspective and provide that because otherwise it's too boring just to talk about how awful they are because that's everyone has that's a popular opinion anyway who gives a shit. So
that's
I would
why
say
I have
so
one, right? I
next time on the
We're
Star Wars miniseries
done.
Of Sitsock.
Like traffic.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Oh, I guess
we're
so.
Just setting up the next.
We're setting it up for
the
next.
For the next Star Wars episode.
For the next Star Wars episode.
Okay.
Episode 3.
Oh my god! Full circle or something? I don't even know.
Nope, that was a semicircle. Anyway,
I get that corner.
So anyway.
I'm trying to think.
What
so,
was your
like,
catchphrase?
Look at the movies.
What?
What?
Yeah, that came
you mean
out.
We have a chance to do science? Or something?
Yeah. And what was mine? Huff, po, fuck you? That's my new one.
Huff, po, fuck you.
Huff, po,
fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah. Hey, thanks for making the traffic out there, Kyle.
No problem.
You're the
when I re-listened to the episode this morning, that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, we're funny guys.
I can't believe, like...
Yeah, how the hell? Yeah.
I said like again.
That's okay. So. The key thing is...
It smells like dog shit wherever we're at right now. I can't handle it.
Roll the window down if you need it.
No. Did you fart?
Not me.
Somebody dog shit fart?
No,
dog
not one of mine.
No, dog farts
are
next
time.
So,
yeah.
So, anyway, where were we? Okay. I think we're trying to come up with
more stuff that we didn't like. I knew there was like one or two more things.
I think...
I'm trying to walk through the movie. You have...
You know what? Okay.
Yeah,
here's one thing. This is where I'm a huge fan of the lore and the world, but I'm not good on details. What's the model of the Millennium Falcon?
YT-1300 Carillion...
Cruiser.
Freighter?
Freighter.
Yeah.
How many of those are there? Like, one?
They used to be really popular in Clone War era.
They were really popular 100 years ago or whatever, 50 years? No, more than that, right?
Yeah. 50
years ago?
Well, yeah, like...
And then they all blew up?
No.
Are they considered
like
junk?
Consider it
like a Firefly.
I think it's more like the status of a Saturn, like Adam's old Saturn.
Yeah,
like they're around. They're
but
just
like,
old.
Why were
and
they? Why were they? Why does the Millennium Falcon kick so much ass?
Because it's named, and they put stuff into it. It's a smuggler ship, not
so,
just a freighter
so it's
anymore.
It's not just that it's a Krillian cruiser. It's that it's almost none of it are stock.
No, yeah, nothing about the Millennium Falcon is the fact that it's actually the YT-1300.
Okay. Yeah, so what I mean though is
they've done stuff.
So there's two scenarios that I'm looking at right now, and this is what bothered me. Either A, these cruisers are so commonplace that they're like a Saturn, and they have some reputation of being reliable because they were ubiquitous, like the Firefly and Firefly.
They are that.
And if that's the case.
They're reliable freighter ships.
Why did no one steal it off of the fucking pile of dirt it was sitting on?
Because
if it was so ubiquitous and people knew there was value in them.
Well, no. Okay, so...
Now, other option. The other aspect of this is the 1-2 punch. The other aspect is everybody knows about Han Solo. Like, he was a famous general in the Resistance.
Yeah.
In the Rebels. Everybody knew he had the Millennium Falcon. And they knew what it was like. What vehicle it was, what type of ship it was.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you, if you saw one of those, wouldn't you be like, I wonder if that's that one?
If you knew about it, but I think that the scale of things, this is something we didn't talk about either, the whole, like, how the hell did people forget about Jedi by the first, right, by the third, okay, movie,
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be some type of galactic scale where information just does not travel.
Well, we're on, they're right? on kind of on the rim of some of those.
Yeah, that is definitely, right? I think that planet, Jakku, is definitely a rim planet.
There is one thing to address with that, yeah, in that they actually kind of went through the lineage of people who'd taken the Millennium Falcon.
Right. I understand that, but what I mean is there's a big fuck off spaceship that clearly runs, no problem, sitting there, no one stole it.
Here's my counter argument. Or go ahead. No, you got it.
They address that in the movie. The Corellian is a old fucking ship, and they're just like, oh, that thing is a pile of junk. That won't fly. And then the ship they're going to gets blown up. I remember that.
But what I mean is, then she gets in and it turns on, starts up, no problem. No one tried to fly this thing?
Okay, so if you had the Millennium Falcon and you knew it, you would keep it in such a state or in a way that people wouldn't think, they would think it was just a normal cruiser. While reliable,
I'd still chain it to something, reliable, or pull a power cell or
while
something.
While reliable, you really want to choose that over basically any other ship that you could choose from, because you don't need a freighter for most things.
Also,
it's a big ship.
I get that, but like, are there not ignition keys?
Right, but there's also something to be addressed with the fact that
they just turn
again
on and
that thing was basically customized and rebuilt.
No, but what he's saying, now is like, that, why didn't you take the keys out of the car?
Hear me out on this. Like the fact that like the ship itself was basically, it's like orc technology. It runs because Han Solo fucking believed him.
That. I don't buy that.
I don't buy
no.
that.
No, not accepting that.
No.
I'm not accepting that.
No, I'm not saying it like it's literally fucking that. What I'm saying is that he ran that ship. He knows how to actually pilot it. He circumvented a lot of those fucking pieces himself.
But what Kendrick's
made that
saying
work.
Now is, why did they leave the keys in the car?
Because here's the thing. If I don't live in the worst... That Jakku is a much worse neighborhood than where I live. And if I left my keys in an old jalopy, it'd get stolen in a week.
That dude owns that whole place.
The guy who owned it was the guy who owned that whole place.
Yeah, the dude that she was giving scrap to.
Right.
So you don't steal from the dude who's giving you money.
But everybody there is a cutthroat douche canoe.
No, that's not necessarily true. The guys that tried the guys that were trying to rob Rey were actually hired by the dude who runs that place to kill BB-88.
That's true, but I still think
you're a crime lord. People don't steal shit from you willy-nilly.
They got away with it pretty well, though, didn't they?
Well, they were getting attacked by the First Order, and the whole place was fucking blowing up.
True. That...
I can see what you're saying, maybe that's just that overconfidence, like, oh, I stole it, now I'm gonna... I don't care. No
one
can take it from me.
But I feel like this goes in back to the thing we were talking about earlier today when you were like, people get nitpicky about, oh, it's the one planet that they all managed to find there.
Yeah, but it just...
It was supposed to be there.
What I'm saying is, wouldn't you at least put, like, a padlock on the door?
Force did it.
I know, it's just...
A wizard did it.
He's just driving extremely fast now in the podcast.
No. I just wanted to get around that corner because it's funny. I'll drive real slow this if you want. All the rest of the random events didn't bother me. The fact that Han Solo showed up didn't bother me. The fact that they landed at the one bar that happened to have Luke Skywalker's lightsaber in it didn't bother me. All that really didn't get to me. What got me was, wouldn't you at least tie the door up with some string or something? Like, you just let anybody wander in and take stuff? Like, how has it not also been robbed completely blind? Like, they still had the old chess game, which played the original recording, and that was sweet. And had the little robot, the thing, the little droid that shot Luke in the arm a lot with non-lethal lasers, fortunately. Like, how... Did no one, like, ransack the fucking thing? It just seemed really weird that it was sitting there unsecured, nothing was taken from it, and it still ran.
I don't find that as strange. I'm sorry, I don't...
That's fine.
Like, I it's not like it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's in his... It's in this guy's personal... This man's town that he runs, it's in his spaceport in that town. Like, people...
I guess I'm not thinking about how much they were under attack and how there might have been security that ran off. I'll accept that.
Well, not even that. Like, you have... There's a certain amount of, like, honor among thieves thing. Like... I feel like maybe we're giving him too much of a criminal aspect. He's just a guy who runs a town for scrap. Like, right? They're not criminals, actually. They're just people. And, like, you don't normally steal from other people. But
just attacked a woman.
I'm not sure. You bring up good points. It's just I'm not sure that there is, like...
All I'm saying is that it bothered me.
Yeah, okay.
And if there's reasons, sure. But it just seems like the reasons are Honor Among Thieves? That just seems like a weak
one. I don't think that one's right either, because I don't think there's criminals there.
I guess it wasn't enough to really make the movie bad. It just, I'm not satisfied with any of the answers or explanations I'm hearing.
I'm still going with the acceptance that because it was supposed to be that way.
Say
there's
that.
No sure, such thing sure. as Thought luck that it or coincidence.
Like it just seems like the kind of guy show. Who would work behind a desk so with a fucking metal grate in front of him so you couldn't do anything to him doesn't trust people with a spaceship. It's weird that there's trust issues there, is all I'm saying. It seems like he wouldn't be trusting.
We're kind of assuming that he uses it. Like,
well, not even that. What I mean is, like, it just seems like the value, he bought it, he has it. The value you would ascribe to something like that, the care you would take, versus the way you're treating it. And that's what's got me.
He steal it from someone. It's not like he bought it.
Well, I mean, he got it. However he got it.
Yeah. He stole it from somebody.
All right. We have to finish this
up. We'll wrap it up. Maybe we'll do a third one. Maybe this is just me. I'm sure someone else on the internet's butt hurt.
Well, it's good to have somebody who has a dissenting opinion.
No, it's not.
Fuck you.
Shut up.
No.
We're done here. Kendrick.
Kyle.
Joe.